Welcome to another exciting Simpsons commentary, this time for Bart of Darkness, 1F22, original air date September 4th, 1994. I'm Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
I'm Greg Daniels, I was on the writing staff at the time.
I'm Jim Reardon, I directed the episode.
I'm David Silverman, supervising director.
This is David S. Cohen, and I was another of the swarm of writers.
This is Matt Groening, creator of Urkel.
Oh, you're going to get sued now. That's what we've been waiting for. This episode was written by Mr. Dan McGrath. It did a really good job. It has a lot of really great stuff that he did. And this is our big opening sequence, all about it being very hot. And I would have preferred this episode actually aired at the very beginning of the sixth season. But it was something that we did at the very end of the fifth season.
Well, this was
the holdover.
We were in production on this episode during the earthquake, the Northridge earthquake.
Oh, so this is one of the earthquake episodes.
Yeah, and the film
Jim Reardon talking, by the way, our brilliant, brilliant director who also did an amazing job on this. Go ahead, Jim.
The film Roman building that we were doing in the studio had some major structural damage, and we had to move out for about 3 months and put us in temporary quarters. And as a result, there was a delay in production, and this is... I think it actually benefited this show. We ended up having about a month longer to do this episode than I was accustomed to.
I remember having a huge argument that when they wanted to move you out, they said the building's unsafe, it could collapse anytime. I said, I don't care, we have a cartoon to do. We keep those people in there, we have to make people laugh.
But I felt fairly proud of this episode after about 5 years of directing. This was closer to what I was trying to achieve as a director than I had come before, and I realized that having the extra time really made
What made it different?
You could just spend more time in little details, like getting when Bart gets off the couch and having the fabric of the couch stick to his skin. Oh. If just giving a little extra time to lay out guys and going back and finessing everything. So I was late with every show I did after this.
Everybody learned their lesson after this episode. They were all late in shipping.
So basically, whenever there's a natural disaster in L.A., the animators cheer, right?
Yes.
Now they're trying to use anything. You know, it was really hot, and we need extra time.
I remember the earthquake climbing on the roof of my house and looking out over the city and seeing that all the lights were out, and I'm going, oh, my God, I can blow deadlines this week. It is great. What an excuse.
I have a good Simpsons earthquake theory. Which is the day
before you get there, I just want to say the Springfield Poolmobile, and I asked this question around. This was based on there used to be a whip that would come around where I lived as a kid. In other words, it was a little the ride where you get in the cars and they whip around at the end of the oval at the end, and you paid 10 cents and it was on the back of a truck that had this cool fence around it, colorful fence, and you got on it and got on the ride for 10 cents, and then the truck would drive away, having kidnapped a couple of children.
I remember that a lot of these heat wave things were personal memories of various... Like, I remember Dan McGrath, who grew up in Brooklyn, telling me about how when it got really hot in the, apartment, that they would do stuff like get in front of the fridge, and,
right.
I think a lot of these were...
Greg doesn't know anything about that being stinking rich from the... He just had people fanning him. He had someone fanning him right now.
On the yacht in Newport. Sometimes got...
I think remember we all laughed. It's not really a joke, but Bart wearing his underpants instead of a swimsuit.
Yeah, there's
another one. That's a great little detail.
It's a great little white trashy detail. So that's right. If you're wearing underwear instead of it, we consider you white trash. Please send your letters to Matt. I'm sorry, David.
Oh, fabulous earthquake, sir. The day after the earthquake, which was a weekend, I drove into the office to see if any destruction had happened. So I went into the new writer's building where our offices are, which is like a 90-year-old decrepit shack. And all my books had fallen off the shelves and stuff. And while I was there, the building inspector came in to my office while I was there, and he started looking around, taking notes, and I said, well, is it safe to be here? And he took a minute, and he looked around, and he went, well, it's no more dangerous than it was before the earthquake.
I lost a lot of my bootleg Tijuana Bart Sanchez statuettes.
Oh, dear.
They can never be replaced.
They're hard to replace.
Mexican construction in the earthquake.
We will rebuild.
What day did you come in after the earthquake, David?
It was a weekend. Was the earthquake on a Friday?
No, I think it was on a Thursday or something. And I remember the only staff members that came in, because I didn't come in, even though I was running the show, I figured everyone gets the idea that they shouldn't come in, and I assume most of them were dead anyway. And Bill and Josh came in. They were the only ones. They came in and they hung around like for an hour till they kind of figured it out.
I think I actually came in on the weekend just to see what had happened.
Ah.
Bart, is your pool ready yet?
I like that she calls him Mrs. Bart. You know his name. This, of course, if the kids come over, it's your job to make food for them all, which I found disturbing.
Isn't this the kind of thing that always gives you animators heart attacks when the script calls for every kid in town to be in every scene?
Well, it used to, but we're kind of used to it by now.
So then we got a callus on the heart now.
But I would have loved this to have been our last show. It just didn't work out timing-wise. Our last show right before summer. Instead, it was our last show, our first show coming back after summer on September 4th. So.
Hey, Bart, your epidermis is showing.
It is?
But people seemed to like it anyway. It was
September 4th is like Labor Day.
Thanks for pointing that out.
He's so useful in these.
I know that. We write that
I'm
down.
Sure Dan is happy that I'm representing his point of view.
You don't need a Palm Pilot if you listen to these commentaries. They'll tell you the date and what part of the year it is.
Behind the scenes kind of thing. At The Simpsons, we celebrate Labor Day around the end of the summer, sometimes beginning of September.
That's one of the cool things we do at The Simpsons.
The Ben Casey Show.
Like that very much.
Very nicely done here. Great shot here. With the shadow and everything, it's very nice.
See, you get an earthquake, you get extra shadows.
Keep those disasters coming. There's a brush fire coming up this summer, huh?
I'm sorry, is that leg?
Now that's clearly broken.
To make sure.
Did I say leg? I meant that wet.
We have some deleted scenes from this episode elsewhere on the disc. You'll take a look where Bart talks about getting a waterproof cast, and we do some HMO jokes. They're hilarious. Check them out.
That's why we cut them. They were too funny.
They were. There's actually, sometimes you work on a show, and you know, there are a lot of shows on TV that suck. In fact, probably most shows. And one of the reasons that that happens is there are literally people in comedy who are afraid of comedy. And I remember seeing shows or being around shows, not necessarily working on, but seeing people who you know, are the head writers on a show, and someone will put something really funny, and they go, that's hilarious, but it will stop the show. It will stop the show with laughter, and we wouldn't want that to happen. So we suck the humor out a little bit so people don't accidentally laugh too long or too hard. It's a great idea.
Bart's all alone. Maybe I should keep him company at least for a
I love Millpool. I love that.
That was funny.
I
guess
there was a little bit of silence after that rant.
Well, I was just bringing it all in.
I'm used to getting a lot of uncomfortable silence after
So we talked about what this is all based on, Rear Window, right? Did anybody mention that?
Yes.
Don't give that away.
Oh.
What?
We have our own ideas. Swimming pool stuff in Rear Window is great.
Yeah.
Spend the summer with my brain.
Well, I thought we got into it a little bit with the...
It is Rear Window. It is Rear Window.
It starts out as one thing, and then it becomes Rear Window very, very specifically. And
now there's a little Esther Williams, Busby Berkeley thrown in.
Oh, isn't this from Rear Window, too? I thought
that's the uncut version.
It wasn't silence after that, was there, man?
Thelma Ritter's big musical number.
Of course, you had more time to do this.
Did Paul Wee lay this out?
Yes.
That's a lot so. Very Paul Wee like.
We have a theme in this show of Bart being held back from something while everyone else is having a fantastic time. Remember the Winter Wonderland sequence?
Yeah.
This, by the way, is pure kudos to the animators. I mean, we write these ideas, but it's all in the execution, and that's where Jim and David, you know, you can't do better.
That was the smoothest thing I think I've ever seen on the show when he was rotating like that.
That was great. It was really nicely done.
I just like the fact that we covered up the tongue last. I never get enough of that cat.
The cat has his tongue out, I know.
I also like the fact that you started introducing the shadow underneath Bart's eyes. He's slowly dipping into his own madness.
Well, we should have gone all the way if we're really doing Heart of Darkness and had him get to Brando size proportions.
Those brains aren't based on any specific movie, are they?
They are. They're based on the Star Trek pilot called The Cage, which was then turned into the Star Trek two-parter called The Menagerie. And those are the creatures from
Oh,
And I will say, you know, it's a perfect example of what idiots sometimes, rarely, but that the network executives can be. Gene Roddenberry did the Cage as a pilot, and they said it was too intellectual, not enough action, it wasn't a good show. So he then did a different pilot that finally got Star Trek picked up. Then when the show was running so behind production, because they tried so hard to make that show good, it was so hard to do all the special effects, they took the old pilot and they recut it into an episode two-part episode that won just a slew of awards. It was one of the most favorite episodes of all times, to show you again how brilliant their first the network's first pronouncement that the episode was not good.
I love Look the at this. This is lighting in this. This is great, by the way. And the credit title design was great.
So what do you guys do in a case like this? Are you coloring in grays, or is that what's happening?
Yeah.
So you're making your own black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you color it in color and then just turn the color off in video, it can change the density and it doesn't end up looking the way you want it to.
Right.
So the color department always says, no, let us pick the grays.
Let us pick the grays. That's great.
No, it was the David Susskind show we were vaguely...
That's absolutely correct. It was great to see Krusty go through different periods. Why there would be a clown that would do serious interviews is a great question.
I love the choice of George Meany as the interview subject.
Is there a crisis, crisis in this country? It's just the most boring. And again, we've talked about this before. It's the hardest thing in the world is to write something that's supposed to be boring, and yet you laugh at how boring it is without being bored by it. And that's one of the hardest things. And most of the time, we fail miserably at that, I want to point out. So. I love
really
the way
nice
Bart is designed here.
Too.
Huh?
Playing Stratego is fun, too. I mean, there's so many great little details in here that remind you of what it was like to be a kid when Dan McGrath was a kid. We're going to get all of them.
No, Stratego is still the biggest thing in the world. It totally beats out any kind of video game.
So, how do you like being Miss Popularity?
Oh, well, you know, it ain't so great. Bart is the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life.
All us writers come from terrible isolation. Right, Greg, would you say?
I had a happy childhood.
Oh, I see. That's so disappointing. How about
you,
Dave?
That's one. How about you, Colin?
Me?
What have we here?
What's the question? I was kind of in my own world over here.
They don't care whose toes they step on. This was a lovely idea, homie. Come here and kiss me.
Do not be alarmed. Continue swimming naked. Oh, come on. Continue. Come on.
All right, no open fire.
Dan McGrath had the greatest laugh. Does he still have that laugh? It was truly a fantastic kind of Deliverance-esque type cackle that we enjoyed. He also wrote the show with the Deliverance joke in it. When Bart and Homer and Flanders go out on the raft and the scouts, that was a Dan McGrath.
Oh, that's
That's
right.
And Ernest Borgnine gets caught in the woods. See, when we rip something off, we make sure you know that we're ripping it off, and here's the Jimmy Stewart ripoff. And those photographs, by the way, are the exact photographs from Rear Window that were behind Jimmy Stewart in that film. I like how he has to rebuild it.
Now, who performed that scream? Was it Harry?
No, it probably was Nancy.
I think it was Tress.
You think it was Tress?
Yeah, Tress does a great scream.
Tress was around for this episode or not? Yeah, she probably was. Yeah, she definitely.
Or me. It could have been me.
Probably. That's.
Now just watching TV.
Now what you've been waiting for.
Krusty from the 60s. Fantastic.
Bobby Shankar. Another great choice.
Shankar.
And by the way, the Shankar, that was a complete ad lib that happened when I was directing this, and just I kept it in when I edited it in. It was just.
It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, this can't be what it looks like. There's got to be some other explanation.
Why didn't we get Ravi Shankar? We should have gotten Ravi. He's still around, Ravi Shankar?
He angrily refused. No, that's not true.
Mad about Apu.
Hey, Ravi Shankar's daughter, kids, Nora Jones. There you go. There's a piece of trivia that now connects the kids up with this old crap they're watching.
Ravi Shankar's
very nicely
down,
done, by the way. Sorry, I just love that.
Wouldn't that image be upside down in a real telescope lens?
Yes, I believe you're correct.
Remember this, Dave?
We pull an imaginary gun whenever someone points out stuff you don't like to.
I would like to say, too, that I, especially the scene with Bart and Lisa in the previous act, didn't Brad have a lot of input on, yes. on the staging of that?
Brad Bird was very really helpful in making all the scary scenes more intense. He had a lot
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't know what all the hubbub is about Brad Bird. He's never done anything anyone's liked. And
we just want to give him credit, you know, for what he did in the past as he slips
yeah,
on
to because he's struggling now. Brad Bird, of course, is the wonderful writer-director of The Incredibles, which you might not have heard of. So now you have. It's a real rare film. See if you can find it. Talk
perhaps
to some nerds.
If you return this DVD set, you could get the DVD.
Right. You can take money back from us and give it directly to Brad.
So, Jim, how are you going to top Brad?
I don't even try.
Because our good friend Jim Reardon is now up at Pixar, but he's doing more of the adult cartoons, more sexual in nature. And stuff like that. Yeah, so look for those.
Yeah, so getting to new markets there.
Yeah, Pixar is really excited.
We're
going to
put the X
whole
in
new
Pixar.
Market.
You can't talk about what you're working on, can you?
Well, as long as nobody's listening here,
we can guarantee
can you
that.
Just tell us. No one else will hear it. No.
2008. That's all I can
2008.
Say.
2008. Oh.
So it's a futuristic thing. Set in the world of 2008.
You know what we can do, Matt, is we can fill up this time telling them some of the basic plots of the Simpsons movie that we just finished or strapped up. We've been writing the Simpsons movie in horrible secrecy, everybody. And
I think we're going to have to change the part where Bart breaks his leg and
no,
there's
no,
a rear window shot of Grace Kelly.
Imagine just stretch it.
I like the pose. Perfect Grace Kelly pose.
No, I'm here for you.
You can start making it up to me right now. Flanders is leaving the house. I want you to sneak in there and bring me back some evidence.
I am proud of the mystery that we create.
It's very well done.
It's fun, and it really has, a satisfying conclusion.
And the same plot device of her sneaking around inside Flanders' house as in the movie.
Well, again, it's not clear which came first in this episode.
The lawyers will figure it out for us.
No, Rear Window, I can't recommend more, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous DVD. I mean, you know, the way Hitchcock... lit things and work with his prints is what film is to me. That's they're the most beautiful colors I've ever seen. They just glow and the actresses mm-hmm. glow and everybody looks great. It's just
there is an animation connection with that movie because the guy who plays the piano player in Rear Window that he's watching through the window,
right?
Ross Bagdasarian, who went on to create the Chipmunks, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
So. Oh, he well, wait. So what happened to David Seville?
That was his stage name. So.
Yeah. The guy playing the piano in Rear Window is David Seville?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, I never knew that. Are you excited about that, Matt?
Didn't you hear the chipmunks in the background? You got the idea listening to Hitchcock,
I believe. Doctor, he told me what to do. Pay for this. My friend. That was one of the first comedy albums, comedy records I heard as a kid.
That was the number one record. The hits there and many records that record held until the Beatles, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was
wow,
finally
3 years, huh?
Wow.
Maybe it was bigger than the Beatles.
It was bigger. I think it was bigger than the Beatles.
I remember something to do with the Beatles.
Know. Was it early 60s?
Beatles, Chipmunks, I don't know.
It was probably late 50s, early 60s.
Confused.
Witch Doctor, which didn't have the Chipmunks in it, which was a Dave Seville record, didn't have the Chipmunks in it, and then he redid it with the Chipmunks at some point.
Oh, the original is great.
Isn't it great? My friend, it's fantastic. We should have put Dave Seville in this. Oh, darn.
Who's doing Jimmy Stewart?
That's Dan.
Dan to me, yeah.
That is Dan.
Yeah, Danny's good. Dan McGrath, huh?
Dan McGrath, he did it all, man. No, Dan Castellaneta, obviously. This is very creepy when Flanders is coming for and he's singing.
Oh, that's great.
Well, Jeff Myers, I think, did the board on this act.
This is a pastiche of Bernard Herrmann?
Well, yeah, it's a Vertigo music that Alf is doing.
Alf did a great Bernard Herrmann homage.
Oh,
very nice.
Very nice
stuff. I love this. This is such a great payoff. Great angle, Jim. Just terrific. And then this is, you know, this is our typical Simpsons audience screw you right here. I'm going to put you away. Time to put you away for good. That's, of course, the way you put an axe away. Overhead. I think there's a cheat where the blade goes in the opposite direction when it's cut, too. It's just perfect.
Also, why is he angry the whole time on his way up the stairs?
He was nervous. He was mad at the stupid axe. Why is it out? It totally tracks, trust me.
Okay.
It's human behavior at its finest.
Corpse in the backyard.
All right, it's true. I am a murderer. I overwatered Maud's favorite ficus plant. I panicked, and then I buried the remains. I was hoping to replace it before you got home.
What about the scream?
I heard a woman scream.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about that?
I can't explain.
About it, Chief.
And this is actually a running joke that we did, because it was when Bart had the girl that he was attracted to, Reverend Lovejoy's daughter. He thinks he hears a girl singing outside the church, and he goes running in thinking it's her, and then it's Flanders, and he gets very disturbed that he had all these exciting feelings, and then it turned out to be Flanders. So we've established him having a very high voice. A lot of kids in that pool.
More allies! More, I say! Hang those who talk of less! There's a few inches over here! Oh!
That's very McGrath, too. Hang those who talk of less.
Yes, that's right. I like the sequence we didn't talk about when Martin says, "I will be queen of summer, king of summer," and then the pool men look at each other. It's a nice little moment.
Now, did it cost much to get this song at the end here?
Well, you know, someone just said it might have cost like
$75,000. That's what I remember. Being
but I might have been bragging about that. What I'll do is I'll claim to Fox it cost $75,000. I'll pocket about $50,000. And then maybe I shouldn't say that on the commentary.
We can edit that part out.
Oh, okay, yeah. No one will hear. And this is Russi Taylor, who does this voice. It does a nice little job singing these first couple lines. This is what we did pay a lot of money for. Is this the exact Frank Sinatra charts of the orchestra? You know, what we call the sync rights, and we use the Farisi organ and everything.
Well,
you know, I got to say, Russi Taylor's great, and Maggie Roswell and Doris Grau. We always, you know, go on and on about how great Dan and Nancy and Julie and Yardley and Hank and Harry are, but the secondary actors of the secondary characters are fantastic.
I don't care for them.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
Maggie Roswell and Pamela Hayden.
Well, we care for them.
Every single person on The Simpsons is it the best at what they do. I mean,
I always like how people come up to me and try to audition for the show. And I say, you know, we haven't really hired any new cast members in 20 years. So.
It really does. People think they can get like a job on the show just doing a character. I said, no, we have, you know, 6, 7, 8 of the best people in the world doing these things for us. And we really have very little outside. That's why we only use huge stars.